Melody.
Good evening. You're listening to Talking with the G's, where we explore the unseen world of music, life, and culture. I am your host, Danielle G.
And I am David G.
And we are so very excited to be with you tonight because you just heard the music of our premiere debut interviewee, Mr. Robert Meyer Ward Jr. Robert is an independent hip-hop and R&B artist who comes from Baltimore, Maryland. He is known by many by his stage name, Dat Zulu. Hello, Robert, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. It is my utmost pleasure to be here, and I can't tell you how excited I am right now.
Robert, that was a really impressive song, and it sounds like there was quite an influence in you writing it. Can you please tell us about Your Love is Melody?
Love's Melody is written for my wife, and really Love's Melody, what I'm saying, the message that I'm conveying is that if love had a melody, she would be it. That's what I'm saying, that the support that she gives me, the love that she gives me from her heart is like a song. And, and if love had a melody, then that would be it. And, if it wasn't for my wife, the dream of making music would have died. As much as I love music, all my family is in music, it would have died if a woman hadn't had a dream. And it's also this CD right here, Bringing It Back, is made possible by my godbrother, Dr. Forrest B. Poindexter, and my producer, Bruce Atkinson, also living here in Baltimore. It was one day that my godbrother found the producer just on happenstance, and I had been writing, and my wife said, I had a dream. And in that dream, the people were cheering your name, and that's what got me to writing again.
Oh, wow.
Because I had completely really stopped writing. I had put music on the back burner. I wasn't going to do it, save for I'm also in a group called The Sounds of Downtown here in Baltimore, where I've written many of their songs. And that was the only thing I was really doing. I wasn't going to pursue music for myself. And Bringing It Back did rather well. The feedback I've gotten off of the CD is tremendous.
Well, Robert, this is David. Welcome to the show on BBS Radio.
Hey, David, how you doing?
Very good. I noticed your stage name is Dat Zulu. How did you come up with that name, and what's the meaning behind it?
That is an acronym. It stands for Determined and Talented. Zulu, taken from the African or South African word Amazulu, which means people of the heavens. And people of the heavens are deities, so actually it means determined and talented black god. I am African-centered when I rap, when I do my music. If you listen to some of the other tracks, they're more ethnic. Dat Zulu, determined and talented, meaning I'm determined to succeed, I'm determined to move forward, and my gift is a gift from the deity, okay? And when I push forward, I'm going to use the divine strength within me to make whatever I want so. And that's the meaning behind Dat Zulu. Did I make myself clear, or do I need to
elaborate?
Yes,
you made yourself clear. We got
okay.
that. So you're basically saying your name is like meaning little musical god.
Right. Yes. Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Here's the question I have for you, because you are, from my understanding, you're like a fourth generation musician. You hail from a very musical family in Baltimore. Can you share a little bit about your family and their history in music? And are they your inspiration?
Absolutely. My father, Bobby Ward, is one of Baltimore's, he's a legendary drummer, one of Baltimore's greatest drummers. My father has been playing music on the jazz circuit for over 400 years. He's played with people like Mickey Fields, Andy Ennis, Richard Groove Holmes, just to name a few. He's also played with the likes of Teddy Pendergrass, James Brown, Little Richard. He's a very well-known drummer, not just in Baltimore, but along the East Coast. So I had no choice but really to follow in his footsteps. I've been watching my dad since I was a little boy. My mother also is a very talented singer. She grew up singing, her and her sisters. So I really don't have any choice but to follow music. And coming from the likes of Bobby Ward, I must live up to that. I must live up to that. I can't let him down because he has given me something to be quite orgulous of. And I'm not going to let him down. To sit in under his wing, to watch my father take the many solos that he's taken, that has had people standing on tables just to see him play. Because there is one time, now that the lounge is closed down, the Sportsman's Lounge was a known spot where my father did some of his greatest drum solos. And people, there were times where he took a drum solo and there was standing room only in the spot, and people were on the tables watching my father play. If you want to know, for anybody who's listening, you want to know who Bobby Wood is, you can Google it. You can look at YouTube and type in Bobby Wood drum solos, and you can see my father taking the solos. I wish I had tapes and movies of him in his prime. My father has been was even nominated Drummer of the Year quite a few times. He was also a member of the Left Eye Jazz Society. I mean the historicity of music in my family is very long. My grandmother, 1714 East 25th Street, Myrtle Ward. At Christmas time, you couldn't get in the house unless you played an instrument. I mean, that was it. You had to, when you came to the house, you had to play. And so I'm a product of those persons that birthed me. And yes, they are an inspiration because there's nobody in the family that didn't aspire to be something and was that. My sister, though not a musician, graduated from Tuskegee University, a doctor, the only doctor in the family. So, I mean, you know, so I don't have any pride. I don't have any choice but to succeed in music. So,
Excellent. So at what age did you start performing music?
My father first, as a baby, I was in nightclubs with my father. He would put me up on the stage. It was usually during the day. Put me up on the stage, and I was on the microphone singing "Jesus Loves Me."
You were in a nightclub. Let me cut
right,
you off. At a nightclub.
Yes, at the age of 4 or 5 and younger. But this was usually during the matinee hours. You know, when the with like when nobody when they let the general public in. This was during the matinee hours. Yeah, and they he would have me up on the stage, or he would even put me on his lap. And then the first time I really performed it, it was at another matinee. I was about 9 years old at the Sportsman's Lounge, right there at Liberty and Gwinnett. And I was sitting on the floor, and he was actually on the stage, and we did a drum routine. And that was my first time ever really performing. I can remember, but one time before that, I was a star in a school play. And I sang Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So I've been doing music since I was a very little boy. I'd say from about
it's
five.
It's always been a part of your life, it sounds like.
Yes, it has. Always been a part. Always been a part.
What is really interesting about your music that we've noticed is that you do something called vocal percussion. And I know a lot of people in our listening audience do not know what that is, so we're going to ask you to explain that. But more... we also are very interested in know why. How did you become a master at it?
Vocal percussion is what a lot of people term, and I really feel like it limits it when they say this, but it's what people call the human beatbox. Okay. When you say human beatbox, it limits it to hip hop. It's not limited to hip hop. It didn't even start with hip hop. It started way before hip hop. I became a master at it watching my father. And when I was born, one of my legs was disfigured. I didn't have the coordination that my father had with his hands and feet on the drums. So I began to mimic what he played with my mouth. Later on, people would come out with the human beatbox, but I was doing it before they called it that. And many of the brothers and sisters that started it were doing it before they actually called it the human beatbox, just mimicking the drum. And because I couldn't do what he did with his hands and feet, I began to do it with my mouth. I could do somewhat. I can play drums, okay. But I just didn't really have the coordination. I really never developed that. So to compensate for that, I began to do this with my mouth. I eventually got real good at it. I mean, that's what happened. I think that the credit that vocal percussion should get, it doesn't get. Because so many people think it's just spitting, and it's not spitting. It's there are actual techniques that you use when you do vocal percussion, and there are different types. It's not just one type. Bobby McFerrin is a vocal percussionist. Al Jarreau is a vocal percussionist. And one thing I can't stand is all the rich people get a hold of something that people do in the ghetto, and now it's an art. It was an art before they took notice of it.
Well, can you give us a couple of examples of the different different types of vocal percussion?
There is buffing, which you. Right. There's a technique that is usually used by Douglas Davis, and that's what the man's name is, Douglas Davis, who everybody knows as Dougie Fresh. Dougie Fresh invented the technique called tap dancing. It's
okay.
The technique is called tap dancing, and he invented that. Nobody was doing that before Douglas Davis or Dougie Fresh. And then you had the human beatbox with the Fat Boys, what I just did, buffing. Right, you know, him doing that, they called it buffing. Because many of the sounds that you do sounds like buffing. So, you know, and the man's name is Don Buffy Johnson, Robinson, excuse me. That was the beatbox for the Fat Boys. And I have on my next CD coming out, is Uso Smooth, I have a song dedicated to Don Buffy Robinson. It's called For Don. And this, my biggest thing is, it's kind of hurtful beatboxing or vocal percussion is undermined. You see thousands of movies dedicated to dancing and the other arts, but there's nothing that has really been dedicated to beatboxing. You have just straight vocal percussion that doesn't involve using your mouth, but actually using your vocal cords. One such person that does it a lot is Janet Jackson. Another person that did it was Michael Jackson. When you just right, you know, you're not even using your lips, but you're actually just using your voice. And that's undermined because people think it's easy. But everybody can't do rhythm with their mouth. You can verbalize and make it sound slick, you know. You know, doing stuff like that. And people, you know, just, they think it's easy. But if you ask them to stand there and do it, they can't do it because most people's ideas, that is spitting, you know what I'm saying? But when you actually have techniques, you know, that's a double tongue roll. All right, that's a technique. All right, you know, so it's not, you know, and you don't just get up in the morning and do that. You have to develop it, you know. So, I mean, you know,
it has to be developed. But you have a song on your last album, which was called Bringing It Back, and I believe it was called Humming That I Love You.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
Right, where you really infuse it really well with everyday music. We do have that song, and we would like to take a listen to that.
Doom, 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 doom my face just like you do. Where's the hell that I love you? The flowers of my strips stay bloom. Just tell me that I love you. Doom, da-da-doom, da-dum-dum, doom, da-da-doom, da-dum-dum, doom, da-da-doom, da-dum-dum, doom. Play it again. Doom, da-da-doom, da-dum-dum, doom, da-da-doom. One more thing. Frozen on all buttermelons. For you sunshine make me kind. Picking like and who is like I. Lovely you came right on time. Singing doom, da-da-doom, da-dum-dum, doom, da-da-doom, da-da-doo-doo-doo.
Was that a good example of what you were talking about?
Absolutely. And I would like to say that that's a song, again, that I wrote for my wife, but it is inspired by a master musician, Stevie Wonder. It's also inspired by, again, Douglas Davis, or Dougie Fresh, who was the first one who actually beatboxed with the harmonica. It's Dougie Fresh who came out with that. And I just took it and copied what he did, and I just listened to him and kept doing it. Dougie Fresh came out beatboxing with the harmonica a long time ago, and he actually does a song with Stevie Wonder. And I just kind of took the sound and I did something else with it. Go ahead.
So, Mr. Zulu, you have to explain this to my husband, because David thinks when you spitting, you are spitting
right
on people. He's making a face. And he'll probably tell you that's not true. Is that true, honey?
No.
He says no. Is it true?
No, that's not true at all.
Okay, but I'm sure most of our listening audience do not know what spitting is and what's the difference between spitting and beatboxing. Can you help clear that up for us?
Okay, spitting. And if you're talking vocal percussion and you say spitting, that is, you know, actually insulting to the vocal percussionist. But when you're talking about hip hop and rap, spitting is simply the term that means to verbalize or vocalize. Okay. To me, when you are talking about spitting, it doesn't have begin to be called spitting until you're talking about the eloquence of it. When somebody has some powerful lyrics, then that's spitting. I would say somebody that's really laid back or smooth, that's flowing. Back in the day, we called it flowing. Okay, if you listen to track number one that's on my or I'm bringing it back, which is entitled Gangsters Be at Peace. The gruffiness, the aggressiveness, I would say that's spitting. But if you listen to number four, which is Creature of Habit, where it's really laid back, I would call that flowing. Okay. And it has to do with how you come off, your delivery. That's spitting. And oftentimes the person is actually spitting. Because of the aggressiveness of it, and the eloquence of it, it's like they hit you in the face with their words, so they call it spitting. All right. But if you were to say that in terms of vocal percussion, you would be insulting the vocal percussionist. We're not, when we do vocal percussion, we're not spitting.
So spitting is very different from vocal percussion.
Yes, it's just definitely two different things, two totally different things. Spitting is verbalization of an ideology or a concept. Vocal percussion is vocal percussion. It's making rhythm with your mouth. It's mocking the drummer or the percussionist in a band. It's two totally different things. However, both are to be respected. Okay, when you hear one rapper will say to another rapper, spit something. Okay, that means verbalize it, demonstrate. Okay, all right. But one vocalist to another vocalist is not going to say spit something. You know, we just, that's not how we communicate. Right, okay. Okay, you know, yeah.
That doesn't sound right.
Right, you know what I'm saying, you know. It's in poor taste when you're talking about it.
Question.
So for new artists just starting out, what would you tell other artists who are just starting out?
Like, what advice would you give them?
Stick with it. My mother used to have a little thing that she said, you can do it if you just stick to it. Good, better, best, never let it rest until you're good as you're better and you're better as your best. Stick to it. Whatever you're doing, don't let anybody discourage you. Stick to it. Always have your songs copyrighted, even if you have to do the poor man's copyright, which is to take your song, put it in an envelope, and mail it to yourself. That's the poor man's copyright. It will stand up in court. And even before you put it in that envelope, get someone to notarize it. All right. And when you notarize it and you put it in that envelope and you mail it to yourself, the song is now copyrighted. But I would say also, don't get in music because you want to make money. Have a 9-to-5, or go to work. It's nothing wrong with that. And then do your music. And support yourself first in your music. Because if you don't support yourself first in your music, why should anybody else? You know, you go to work and you pay for your studio time. Get a job, okay? Because when the music doesn't work, then your work will work. have a 9-to-5. Copyright your music and stick to it. And that's my advice. You know, you definitely have to. One of the greatest rappers of all time, KRS-One, said, any true artist has another means of making money. Okay, some of the artists in the industry have become puppets because they are making music their only means of making money. You don't do that. Have a 9-to-5. Have something to fall back on. You know.
Do you have any regrets in your career? You've been at this for, I would say, about 30 years. Has there been anything that you regret? Anything that you wish you would have done?
Sure. I want to say, never hit your dreams to a falling star. If the person that you are with is not as serious as you need to move away from them. I went to the Apollo in 1992. I think it was 92 or 93. I went to the Apollo. I had an opportunity to beatbox with Dougie Fresh. I lost that opportunity because they would not pick up my friend. Still, if it hadn't been for the friend, I wouldn't have known about the Apollo audition. So I felt a little guilt. But the thing of it is, sometimes in the music industry, in the entertainment industry, you have to move on even when other people don't want to. Okay? They may not choose your whole group. You have to, if they pick you, then you have to go. If that's your dream, then you need to follow your dream. And I didn't do that, and I regret that. But I've gotten past that regret by continuing to pursue my music. You know, don't let it get you down. Don't carry your regret with you to your grave. Give it to your creator. You know, and that's the best, that's the one to best resolve that issue. You know, I'm still, I may have lost the opportunity, but my music is still in me. So it didn't take anything with me from me. It made me stronger.
What would you want the world to know about you? If this is the last show that you do on Earth, what would you say to the world? What would you want the world to know about That Zulu as an artist?
That my music was an example of what music really was supposed to be in the beginning. And as Lauryn Hill said, music is supposed to inspire. I hope I wrote songs that inspired people. I hope I did things that made people want to be better as people. That's my goal in writing music. And giving people your talent, not your business, but your talent. And there's a difference. That's what I choose to give people, my talent. Not the business, but my talent. True music, true gifts that was given to me from the ancestors and the deity. You know, that's what I'm about, is uplifting people. That's what I write my music for. To inspire, to uplift, to move people in a righteous direction. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I came into this for, and that's what I believe I was given the talent for. When I go down, I just want to be known as a good man, you know, and I think that's enough, you know. I did good. That's I did my part, and I did good. That's what I want the world to know, you know. Say that again.
That is definitely inspiring. Can you tell us about any new projects coming up? Do you have any new CDs coming out, new music?
Yes, as I previously mentioned, my new CD will be out. I'm looking at it between January and March. It will be Uso Smooth. It's a project with that will be a double disc CD, 17 songs plus an interview. I'm very, very proud of that CD. It's to me better than Bringing It Back. Bringing It Back being my debut CD, and that's fine. But I really think that more thought went into the second CD. Yes, it will be out between, I'm hoping, January and March. Now in March, I'm going to be marketing that on CD Baby, just as I did Bringing It Back. This CD is more melodic. I have more songs on it. There are some raps, but it's mostly songs. It's more musical. So I do have a fan base that's waiting for that. Be patient, y'all. I'm going to get there. You know, I'm in the studio now. Just putting the finishing touches on it. I'm blessed to be working with a very fine producer in Bruce Atkinson, a very fine producer and engineer, located in East Baltimore. And just really happy. That's what's up and coming.
What do you see for your future?
Continuing to make music. I'm also writing. I hope to produce a book. I've talked to some other people who have said that they would help me with that. I do have a lot of other talents I'm wanting to be pushing out there. So just continuing in my music, and come what may, I'm just going to keep on using my talents to increase my wealth and broaden my horizons. And when I say increase my wealth, I'm not necessarily talking monetarily. I think wealth is in also who you know and who comes to know you. And what you all do and what you experience together, that's also a wealth. So it's a beautiful thing, and it's not just to make money and get luxuries. It's what you do for people, not necessarily what you get from them, that makes you a powerful individual.
Are there any celebrity artists that you would like to work with?
There's a myriad of artists I would love to work with. Of course, my longtime idol, Dougie Fresh. That's just to name one. Music Soul Child is a person I would love to work with. Eric Benet, and the list goes on and on. I mean, there's so many people I would love to have a session with. Eric Benet to me is phenomenal as a vocalist. R. Kelly even, I would back him up on the beatbox just because of the writer that he is and the songstress that he is. The man is awesome. You got a myriad of people out there. Yeah. If I could get on with Timbaland or even Manny Fresh, I mean, because the beats that he lays for Lil Wayne, I'm not all into Lil Wayne and his flow, but the beats behind Lil Wayne are just funky. And Timbaland is just out there, Missy Elliott. You know, and that's just to name a few. Yeah, sure. Definitely. A myriad of artists I would love to work with. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Mr. Robert Meyer Ward, also known as Dat Zulu, we really want to thank you for joining us today. It has been wonderful having you. It's been enlightening.
Thank you.
Been inspiring. And we're just really grateful that you have chosen to sit down and talk with us. We really, really appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you as well, definitely.
I think David has another question.
Also, where can people find your music?
Right now, it's on CD Baby, Dat Zulu Bringing It Back. I did have a store on Facebook. It's not up now, but right now, CD Baby. You can definitely... you can definitely find it there. Push come to shove. My CDs, for those of you who know me, my CD has my information on it, my phone number. You can call me. If you want a CD, call me up. I'll get it to you some kind of way. I mean, but yeah, it's on for purchase on CD Baby. Yeah, definitely.
So thank you. Like I said, thanks so much for coming. Thank you so much for sitting down and talking to us. We're going to say goodbye, but we're not going to end the show just with this goodbye. We're going to play She Does, and that is also off of, it's not off of Oh So Smooth. What is it off of, Mr. Zulu?
Bringing It Back.
Bringing It Back. It is off of Bringing It Back. So thank you, thank you, thank you, and we're going to play She Does.
She makes me. She makes me. Me with her love again, she does, like the sun's brilliant rays, she wants my soul and with haste, so it's what she does. She does, she does, she does. She does. She does, she does, she does. Words not spoken. Freeze realization of true love. And so I sing of she. And I will o'er and o'er again. A spring. Steady wind strong, her love upon me fills me long, so true, and then when I'm in her arms, I am a womb, the mighty born, it's what she does. She does, she does, she does.